of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tite.
And I'm Bonnie North. There's probably not much we need to tell you about The Wizard of Oz. It's perhaps the most beloved film in American history, based on L. Frank Baum's equally beloved book, and it was turned into a stage show in 1942, just 3 years after the movie came out.
Tonight, the Skylight Music Theater officially opens its first ever production of The Wizard of Oz, based on a more recent adaptation of the 1942 play.
Vishwa Subbaraman is artistic director at Skylight and conductor for this production. Linda Brovsky directs the show. Subbaraman explained why the time was right for Skylight to mount this production.
At the Skylight, we have decided to start looking at our seasons as a conversation about something, you know, that has to do with our shared humanity. Last season, we did Revolution, and this season, we thought it would be interesting to explore fairy tales. You see fairy tales on TV now, film, you know, whether it's Marvel comic-type fairy tales or whatnot. I mean, we seem to be really interested in them these days. So as we were putting together a season of fairy tales, we wanted a holiday show that everyone could bring their family to, that, you know, was fun, that was light and uplifting. And we know in Milwaukee we tend to get snow and cold. And so we wanted to kind of give people a change from that. And so when we found Wizard of Oz, we were really excited about the possibility of putting it on at the Skylight.
And so, Linda, when did you come in?
I came on board, I think Vishwa called me last Christmas.
Yeah, last year almost.
And we talked about the show, and I remember saying, if it's the shticky, campy production they did on Broadway, I can't do it because that's not my style. And he said, look at the script. I think you're going to actually see it's a different show. And I read the script and thought, this is absolutely charming. It's very close to the film in terms of the dialogue and the music. And the more we got into it, the more I realized what a gem this piece is, both musically as well as dramatically.
So what was it that appealed to you that the shticky one didn't?
I think the humanity of the piece, and that it really is a little girl's journey and a how-to guide of what do you do when things go wrong as a child? How do you cope? How do you survive your frustrations with the adult world? And also, how do you survive your fears? And the yellow brick road is really a metaphor for Dorothy and her companions learning about courage, learning about common sense, learning about compassion, learning about facing your fears and doing what is right for the common good.
I've also always thought of The Wizard of Oz as a meditation about what home means, too.
Absolutely.
And does this script talk about that as well?
No question.
Absolutely.
You know, that idea that home in some ways is inside you, that idea that you've been carrying it all along, you know, when Dorothy at the end is told by Glinda that, you know, she had it with her all along. She just had to discover it herself. I think is really apt, especially in the modern era. I mean, we travel so much. People move around the country. People move around the world. So much these days that you do have to figure out how you take home with you. And I think that's one aspect of the show that resonates very, very strongly with me.
And for you?
Very strongly. And I think it also, certainly the stage play or the musical emphasizes that home is not only within you, but home is something you create. Family is something you create. Dorothy's an orphan living with her aunt and uncle, and yet she creates a family in Oz that she can barely stand to leave the lion and the scarecrow and the tin man. And when she returns to Kansas, she realizes that they're all the family she ever needed. She created her family. And that is home for her.
And to me, that's such a powerful, powerful thing to think about, both as a child and as an adult.
Absolutely.
You know, that we do have that ability. So let's talk about the music part of it. I mean, we've got the story part, and most of us know the basic story of The Wizard of Oz. How different is the music from the film? How similar is it?
It's pretty similar. You're going to hear all the recognizable tunes. There are some transitions and some underscoring that is different in order to accommodate the play side of it. But for the most part, if you're in love with the tunes from the movie, you're going to get all of them. And then there's some added ones with the jitterbug coming back in, which was supposed to be part of the movie but was cut. That scene was actually cut from the film and has been incorporated back in the musical theater version.
I think it's ironic to think that Somewhere Over the Rainbow was also cut at one point from the film.
Right.
And then they put it back in because they said it was too long of a book and not enough music. So they reinstated it, and it's become the the hit tune from the show.
The iconic song.
The iconic song.
Yeah. I mean, you can't not have it.
There's a lot more dancing in the musical theater version than there is in the film, because in the film you had that the opportunity to have these incredible cinematographic expanses of trees or people or munchkins, whereas in the stage play, it really is focused on the people in front of you. So they dance, they sing, there are wild transitions. I think it's going to be fun.
How are you doing the winged monkeys?
Oh, you know, that's going to be a mystery that you'll have to come and see to find out.
Okay. But they do, they're there.
Oh, yes.
You can't not have the winged monkeys.
Oh, you can't not have the winged monkeys.
We have great winged
those
monkeys.
Those were my favorites when I was younger and watching the film.
We're really, really hoping the winged monkeys don't scare the dogs to death. That's our real, what we're all keeping our fingers crossed with.
So you mentioned dogs. Of course, there's Toto.
There is Toto.
And you are having a real dog.
We have two.
Because you have to switch off.
Oh yeah, I think about 40 shows. So to have one dog do all of them is a lot to ask of a dog. So we are splitting it between two.
So you didn't take the W.C. Fields admonition to heart, which is that you should never be
no
on stage
kids,
with
no
a
dog.
Child, no child, no
well,
dog.
Later this season, we're working with kids, so you know we've got it all this year.
Now the dogs are actually. I mean, Toto is a principal role, and we have a little white Westie. Snowy doing some of the performances and a Karen Terrier Hilly doing the others. They are characters in their own right, and they have their opinions. I told Vishwa it's sort of like directing an Italian tenor with fur, because they are very
there are some furry Italian tenors.
Yes. They are very, you know, they have their needs and they have their opinions about things. Right now we seem to have a rather strong opinion about chickens and cows, so we're trying to work that out with the dogs.
Work that through.
Hilly's not a huge fan of flying cows. She kind of doesn't believe they should fly.
No.
And attacks. And both dogs really like the chickies at the beginning of the show.
In the Kansas farmhouse.
Yes. They are very fond. Those look like ideal dog toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you worked with animals before? Because this is a part of, you know, stagecraft that I think we don't really talk about very much.
You know, I actually have worked with animals a lot.
Okay.
I do a lot of directing opera, and I have, at this point, I've worked with 3 donkeys, 2 horses, an elephant, 3 tigers, a lion, a python, and several dogs.
I was going to say, you did Aida, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. That's the elephant.
That's the elephant, the lion, the tigers, and the python. Yeah.
Yes. So on a stage like The Cabot, are you worried that the dog is going to pull focus from what's actually happening on stage?
Well, you know, the first part of the audition was to make sure that the dogs would react to an audience well and would react to the sound. So we actually did a live audition on the Cabot stage with an audience with, you know, the recordings playing. And you know, the dogs responded pretty well. You know, I think the way the actors interact with the dog is very much part of the show. I don't know that the dog is ever going to steal focus unless the dog is supposed to steal focus.
Right.
You know, there is that great moment where it is Toto who discovers that the wizard is not really the wizard. So there is that moment. But the actors are really telling a great story. So I think your focus is going to be on the actual tale being told, not the tail wagging.
And also, our dogs are in rehearsal all the time and handled by everyone all the time. So in many ways, I hope that the audience will just think, well, that's how a dog acts. You know, dogs get distracted and the cast just keeps going. They, just like your own dog
gets
distracted.
Right, you just pull the dog along with you.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly, because you're in this world and you have to keep going with whatever you're doing. As this goes through the holidays, obviously, Vishwa, you're working on what's coming up in the second part of the season. How else are you going to be looking at fairy tales this year?
Well, my predecessor, Bill Tyson, is coming back to direct Once on This Island, which is kind of a play on the Little Mermaid tale, but set in the Caribbean. We've got a big world premiere opera coming up in March called The Snow Dragon, which is based on a science fiction novel called The Fallen Country. We're really excited about that. We've got opera companies from around the country actually coming to see the premiere. And then we're closing the season with Into the Woods, which takes up all these fairy tales, mashes them up, and turns them on their heads in the second act. So it's a really fun season, but it's also one, as you alluded to earlier, fairy tales are really interesting both for kids and for adults. As I watch Wizard of Oz, it's amazing how, A, I'm taken back to when I was younger, but it also makes me think about where I am in life now. And so I think we've been saying at the Skylight that no one's too old for fairy tales, and I think we're proving that true this year.
I agree. I don't think anyone ever is, because they are a way to look at your life at different stages of your life. And, you know,
absolutely,
when you're 9, you're going to look at it differently than when you're 39 or when you're 69. You know,
absolutely,
they somehow take you back into yourself, which I think is really important.
I think also the script of this musical is incredibly witty. And we had the staff at the run-through on Sunday night. Everyone was laughing their heads off at things that we thought were amusing, but we didn't think were that funny. But again, it's a very sophisticated humor on one level and then kid humor on another. So the adults are going to take away something very different than the children will.
Well, and also I think there are children that can get some of that sophistication. Even if they don't quite understand what it is, they find it funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't want to risk talking down to the kids because, their senses of humor can be amazingly sophisticated.
I think that you will find the kids will come away with probably the greater message, and the adults will look back and go, I didn't remember this piece being that funny, because I didn't think the movie is funny.
No.
When I looked back on it, and then working on this musical, I thought, oh, God, that is a great line. That is a hysterical line, and it's in the movie, but it wasn't delivered in that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can remember some things, particularly between, you know, the Lion, the Tin Man, the Scarecrow.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of – it's like almost the Three Stooges.
There are a lot of great fun asides that, you know, are almost kind of under your breath asides. But they're – you know, especially with the intimacy of the Cabot, you catch everything. So it is fun. You get a lot more out of it when you get older, I think, than you did when you were younger.
It's just one of those things to go back to.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thank you both so much for coming in and talking about this. I can't wait to see it. Best of luck going down the Yellow Brick Road.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for having us on.
Linda Brovsky is the stage director for the Skylight Music Theater's production of The Wizard of Oz, which opens tonight. Vishwa Subbaraman is the company's artistic director, and he conducts this production. The show runs through January 4th.
Don't bother us now. Go and find yourself a place where you won't get into any trouble.